Blind Cool Tech, number 31, July 2nd, 2005. Hello, everybody. I'm your host, Larry Scoot Khan. And today we're going to look at the Olympus Digital Recorder, but more specifically, we're actually going to talk about what is a portable digital recorder and how could it be of use for you. It's a gorgeous day here in Louisville. The humidity finally broke. So I'm out in the backyard. You can probably hear the birds singing. And it's probably in the mid-80s, sunny. I was going to mow the grass, but ended up waiting too long. It's a little bit too hot for that. I think it's going to be cool tomorrow morning, so I'll just wait till then and do it. Seems like I just did a podcast with it last week, but I guess it's been a little longer than a week. Or maybe that rain just made the grass grow so much better. A couple of things. The Jeff Bishop of the Desert Skies podcast wrote me and explained that it's probably actually the term sound seeing tour is probably the correct one. And he pointed out there's even a podcast of sound seeing tours, and sure enough, I was even subscribed to it and I just never noticed. But I got my information actually from Daily Source Code with Adam Curry's podcast, and you know, he went through this big explanation of how it was sound seen. And I've been actually reading Todd Cochran's book. He's a guy on Geek News Central, and he calls it sound seen as well, but for our show, we'll just refer to it as sound seeing, whatever the correct term happens to be. Well, it was a busy, busy week at work this week. We have a lot of stuff going on with Book Wizard and with Studio Recorder. Money Talks was officially released. I think we mentioned that. The prices in an earlier podcast are set at $49 for a CD version and $39 for an electronic download. Those will be available at the summer conferences. The only real difference between the two is that the electronic version does not come with the AT&T Natural Voices text-to-speech engine, but if you have that already, the program will use that. So, you know, if you already have it or a other high-quality text-to-speech engine, oh, there's a train in the background there. You can probably hear it. You don't need to spend the extra $10, so whichever way you like. A couple of other things is some interesting things going on in the news and in podcasting in general this week. As you probably know, there was a big conference of podcasters last week called GnomeDex, and one of the things that happened there was that Apple announced that they were supporting podcasting in iTunes, and sure enough, the next day they actually released version 4.9 of iTunes, and I immediately downloaded it and tried it out. The program's actually not much more accessible than it was in earlier versions. You can go to a menu and subscribe to a podcast manually. I tried to do it from their website too, and I really never got anywhere. I'm going to try it again because I think things got crazy last week. You know, I can't remember the exact number of people using iTunes, but from other shows that I heard, well, this Todd from Geek News Central, in fact, said his hit rate, the number of times people went to download his show, increased by 300,000, I think he said. So it's a significant traffic increase on the web, and I think it pretty well brought a lot of places down to their knees. And I realized too that we're having some bandwidth issues on our server. as well. We are in the process of obtaining a new server and a dedicated line, so that should help that out a little bit. And there's some other technology. Some of the podcasters are using a thing called BitTorrent that helps distribute the load by taking pieces of the thing that you're trying to download from various sites. So it puts your material up to be, the program may get pieces of your material to send to somebody else. You know, what I mean by your material is the podcasts that you have stored on your hard drive. So that may be an option for us as well. We're going to be looking into that a little bit. Also, in the news of interest is the fact that Audible.com began offering their subscriptions in a podcast. Now, I imagine they're still protected, and I immediately tried to do this, too. In fact, I tried to do show 29 of being the process of upgrading the Audible and subscribing, but my feed didn't work, and it still doesn't. I called Audible technical support and got some really nice people there. I don't know what that noise is. I hear it in my earphones. I don't hear it live, though. Sounds like a dog barking or something. Anyway, I got some nice people, but they didn't know what was going on either, and I've actually left them 2 email messages with no response yet. I don't quite know what the deal is, because this personal URL that they gave me doesn't resolve to anything. So, I mean, the podcatcher can't get it. I mean, normally you can put the URL into Internet Explorer and, at least have IE show you the contents of the feed. But this one, I was getting a page not found error. So I'm not sure what's going on there, but we will keep you posted as things develop. I suspect what's going to happen, though, once that part gets working, is that it will the podcatching software will download your Audible show, and then you would still have to use, well, in the case of using it with the book port, like a lot of people on that listen to this show do, you would just use your book port transfer to send it over at that point. So really it's just saving you the time of going over to the Audible site and downloading it, which is actually a significant saving, because while the Audible site is accessible, it's busy. There's a lot to do there, and it's, one of the nice things about podcasting is that you can get the stuff delivered to you automatically, and that's the whole idea, and it's great. Okay, what else have we got here? Oh yes, as I mentioned to you, we're going to hopefully be getting some reports from the ACB convention in Las Vegas, and also we'll be doing some reports from the NFB convention, which is here in Louisville this year. For those of you that don't know, ACB is American Council of the Blind, and NFB is National Federation of the Blind. These are 2 consumer organizations for blind people, advocacy, legislation, and so forth. So, should have some interesting things coming for you along those lines. But as I was setting up a way for Dr. Carter to get the material to me, I ended up purchasing or renting some storage space at a place called OnlineStorageSolution.com, and it occurred to me that one interesting thing that we could do, if you all were interested in it, is that if you wanted to file a report or even play some music or any kind of audio at all that you would like to submit and have played on this show, we have a way for you to do it now, and that would be to it's an FTP site, and if you're using Windows XP, you would just, well, one of the easiest ways is just to go to the start menu and then run and do FTP:// BCT, that's Blind Cool Tech, BCT, @skular.online.storage.solution.com. And then what you'll see there is probably an empty folder, or there may be a few files in there. And what you want to do, even before you do that, is put whatever you're going to send to that site on your clipboard. You know, just Control C, find it wherever it is, and hit Control C. Then when you get to this place, you can hit Control V to paste it, and it'll probably come up and ask you for a username and a password, and the username is BCT and the password will be submit, submit. So we'll put this information on the show notes as well. So if you want to submit anything, we'll give this a try. If you want to play some, if you've got some music, you know, of your own, of course, not we can't play copyrighted music or anything like that. Or just anything you want to share with the rest of the people listening to this show, that would be great. Also, if you have any other podcasts that you would like to recommend for people to subscribe to, send an email to blindcooltech@gmail.com and we'll be sure and get that information. Or you can attach a message, an audio message to an email, or you can call our telephone answering line at 206-984-9203 and just leave that information on a voicemail. Okay, let's talk about digital recorders. For those of you that are not familiar with these, this is essentially a modern version of a tape recorder. It's got a lot of advantages over a tape recorder because A, it's a lot smaller, and B, you don't have to worry about overwriting things. So what you can do, the one I use is an Olympus V90, and I've had one other one before this, and it's maybe an inch wide, 3/4 inch thick, 2.5 inches tall. And this particular one, and I think most of them, have 2 or 3 different folders where you can put different kinds of messages. And this one's even also got a schedule thing on it that'll give you an alarm. Now, I will tell you, I used to be able to use this scheduler on here, but it does require sighted help to set the date and time on this device. There's a display on it that gives you the date and time and the time you're recording and so forth. But I've quit messing with that a long time ago because, you know, it's too easy to miss an appointment that way. This particular unit, and I think many of them are very similar, has a switch on the side of it to lock it so you don't accidentally press keys. And believe me, that's important because, you know, I've left that switch open and accidentally hit the record key while it was in my pocket, and you can fill up your memory. So then the next time you go to take a note, you know, it beeps at you saying there's no more memory left. The way this particular one works is that you get 90 minutes total, and each of the 3 folders can have 99 files in it. So you can either, you'll get a full condition if you're trying to record the 100th file, into one of those three folders, or if your total recording time is at 90 minutes. And I've actually, believe it or not, never found that 90 minutes to be a limitation. Now, I don't record entire lectures or anything. I mainly use this, well, pretty much as a pencil and paper. Jot down phone numbers. Hold on a sec, let me catch this phone here. One of the things I like to do on the podcast is to not, I'll just call her back, is to not stop once I get going. It kind of makes the show a little more spontaneous and interesting, and probably a little less professional, too. Excuse me for that. Now, on this particular recorder, and on many of them like it, there's a round button with you press on either of the four sides in the center of the face of it, and above it is a long rectangular button that's the record button. And to record, you just press the record button and it'll beep at you, and then you can make your recording. So I'll do that right now. I just started it recording, and the reason I'm doing that is I want to show you a feature about this here in just a minute. The round button, the top is stop, the bottom is play, and left and right are your forward and reverse. And then around the edges of that big round button, on three sides of it, the top left is the menu key. And that lets you set your quality of your recording and your time and date and so forth. And again, that's one I never actually use. Now, the bottom left is your delete. This lets you delete individual messages, and that one I use all the time. It requires a confirmation, so you press it, it beeps, then you press it again, and it beeps again to let you know that you have actually deleted the message. Okay, so I'm going to stop recording on this device and play it back, and then I'll tell you about the top right one here in a minute. So we're playing back.
So I'll do that right now. I just started now that recording.
I'll pause it by hitting the play key again. And what's interesting about this and many of these other recorders is you can actually increase the speed by holding down that play key. So listen to this.
I'm doing.
That is, I'm going to show you a feature about this here in just a minute. The round button, the top.
And then you can do it again
right
to get back to normal. And then you can stop it. Now, the top button on the right, I mentioned to you, is your folder selection button. So you can press it and it'll beep for which folder you're in. So if I press it once, now I'm in folder 2, it beeped twice. Press it again, I'm in folder 3. Now the next time I'm in the schedule folder, and then I'm gonna press it again and I'll be back where I was in folder 1. And then when you press play, you're right on the message you were last at.
So I'll do that right now.
And you can move back and forth through your messages either while it's playing or while it's not playing. So we'll get it to play and I'll move backwards.
So I'll do that. 847.
Again.
404.
Again.
Smith at Insight.
Again.
Again. Again. 1736 Kroger on the 26th.
So that message, for example, 1726 Kroger on the 26th, I've already dealt with that. Now, one thing this machine does that really kind of threw me at first was that it plays the message and then skips to the next one. So to delete it, I actually have to go back. Now I'm back to it. So now if I play it, yeah, now I can delete it. I'll press the bottom left key. It beeps twice, then I'll press it again. And it's deleted. So this machine runs on two AAA batteries, and it actually lasts about 6 months on a set of batteries, which is phenomenal, I think. I use the machine almost every day. Now, other things that this has on it, and I think many of them will, is a small microphone jack and a small earphone jack in the top of it. It's the sub eighth inch. So you do need a special one. But the built-in mic is good enough for taking these kinds of notes. It also has a volume wheel on the side of it. And the cost is variable. I think I paid around $100 for this one, and I've seen them anywhere from $60 to, you know, $200 or $300. I've heard about some good Sony ones as well, so I think I and other people listening to these shows would be interested in some reviews of some other digital recorders that you may have found. I know Keith, one of the guys that I work with, has got a different model of the Olympus, and it actually has a USB cable so you can copy these files over to your PC. And I believe it even comes with voice recognition software to translate the messages into text. Now, I don't really count on that kind of thing working, but if I'm wrong and you guys have some better experiences with speech to text, please let me know. If you have a digital recorder that you think is especially accessible, and as far as I know, these things are made to be very simple to use. So even if you can't go in and set the menus, it's easy enough to make a recording. I mean, they're designed to be to dictate to, you know, so it's usually a one button to record and then easy buttons to navigate and deal with the messages. And, you know, typical use of something like this, like with me, is just keep it around long enough to get it copied into the PC anyway. So I'll write down my expenditures, phone numbers. Now, I will warn you, and I'm bad about doing this already. I mean, I know not to do this, and that is just to record a phone number thinking that you're going to remember what it is, you know, a few weeks or a few months from now. Always record the name after the phone number, or even before it if you want. I like to do the phone number first and then say what it is, or, you know, if I'm recording a serial number or just whatever it happens to be, you know, make sure you say what it is, because I guarantee you, you will not remember what that is when you go back through your messages at a later time. Hey, girl, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Great.
Can I leave you these checks for Nathan?
Sure can. He'd love to get them.
Well, I tell you, Renee's had them her since, like, May.
Okay, good. Well, he owes me money, and he was going to pay me with those. Hey, I hope you don't mind. You're on a podcast now.
Oh, that's okay.
You know what that is?
No.
It's a thing that's in audio on the internet.
Well,
it's okay. You got a computer, don't you?
Uh-huh.
Let me give you my URL, and you check it out sometime.
Okay.
It's really cool, and you'll be able to hear your voice on it now.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
No, I don't do.
It's at, you got something to write with?
Yeah.
All right. That's one of my neighbors there. She, her and two other girls live there. Really neat girls. One of them's in college, and I think one of them works for the Environmental Protection Agency, and they have a yellow lab named Noah that Jake and him like to bark at each other. Him and Jake almost look exactly alike. And They act like they've never seen each other. They come over here and bark all the time at each other, and they've worn out a place along the fence where they run. But they're really, really nice girls. Okay, that's it about the digital recorder. So I will tell you to leave us a comment at 206-984-9203 or email us at blindcooltech@gmail.com. This is it for Show 31, Blind Cool Tech. I'm Larry Skutkan. Thanks for joining us.